Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
What if the most powerful tool for your mental well-being wasn't a pill or an app or a 10-day silent retreat? What if it was something much closer? Something you probably walk past every single day, maybe without even noticing.
Something as simple as a tree or a small patch of grass.
Exactly. As a writer, I'm obsessed with setting. How the environment, the world we build around a character, fundamentally shapes who they are. For years, I've seen the city as this high-stakes, high-pressure character in our collective story. But lately, I've become fascinated with these small, green interruptions. The parks, the gardens, they're like these quiet plot twists in the urban narrative. And I have to know, what are they really doing to us?
And for me, living in the middle of it all, it's less of a narrative question and more of a daily reality. I know that feeling of a jaw that's been clenched all day without realizing it. That low hum of anxiety from the traffic and the noise. But I also know that feeling of walking into a park and taking that first deep breath. It feels like a physical release. And I've always wondered, is that just a feeling? Or is there something profound, something scientific, happening in my brain and my body in that moment?
That is the very question we're exploring today. We're talking about the power of urban greenery on our mental health. It's a concept that goes by many names. Some call it forest bathing or Shinrin-yoku, but the core idea is the same.
And we're going to get into it. We'll look at the incredible science that's emerging, the studies that show how even a little bit of green in our concrete world can lower stress, boost our mood, and even make us smarter.
We'll also talk about how to find it, how to maximize it, and how to integrate this ancient, simple practice into a very modern life. So, stay with us.
So, let's start right there with that physical feeling, because it's so distinct. I can walk out of my apartment, shoulders up to my ears, jaw tight from, I don't know, a dozen emails and the siren that's been going off for 3 blocks, and I step onto the grass in the park, and it's like a switch is flipped. Is that just placebo? Is that just me wanting to feel better?
It's so much more than that. Your brain is actually doing something remarkable in that moment. It's called attention restoration theory. Think about your brain in the city. It's constantly using what we call directed attention. You have to focus to avoid a cyclist, to read a sign, to ignore an advertisement. It's mentally fatiguing.
Right. It's work. Just existing is work.
It is. But when you step into that park, your brain can switch to a different mode. It's called soft fascination. You can notice the rustle of a leaf, the pattern of light through the branches. It's interesting, but it doesn't demand anything from you. Your directed attention gets to rest and recharge.
So my brain is literally taking a break. It's not just that the noise is gone, it's that the demand on my focus is gone.
Precisely. And they've seen this in brain scans. There are fMRI studies where they show people images of urban scenes, and you see activity in the amygdala, the part of the brain associated with fear and stress. Then they show them nature scenes, and that activity just quiets down. Instead, you see activity in parts of the brain linked to empathy and stability.
Wow. So it's not an illusion. My brain is physically responding, changing its activity, just by looking at a tree instead of a building.
And it's not just the brain. That feeling of your jaw unclenched, your shoulders dropping, that's your nervous system shifting gears. You're moving from the sympathetic nervous system, that's our fight or flight mode, the one that's always on in a high-stress environment.
The one that runs on cortisol and adrenaline.
Exactly. You're shifting from that into the parasympathetic nervous system. The rest and digest state. Your heart rate slows, your blood pressure can actually drop, and the production of stress hormones decreases. It's a full-body physiological response.
That is profound. It validates that feeling completely. It's a real biological event. But you mentioned Shinrin Yoku earlier, forest bathing. Does the type of green space matter? Is walking through a forest different from, say, sitting in a grassy field?
It seems to be, yes. There was a fascinating study in Mexico City looking at adolescents. They found that exposure to woodland urban green spaces, you know, with a complex canopy, lots of trees, was linked to better cognitive development and fewer mental health risks.
But not just open grass.
But not grassland spaces, no. The effect wasn't as strong. It suggests that the complexity, maybe the biodiversity of a more forest-like environment, gives our brain more of that soft fascination to gently engage with. It's a richer sensory experience.
So it's not just about seeing the color green. It's about the layers, the depth, the feeling of being enveloped by it. That makes so much sense. It feels more like a genuine escape.
And that feeling of being enveloped, it's not just visual. You're being immersed in a completely different sensory world. Think about what you're smelling. Trees, especially conifers, release these airborne chemicals called phytoncides. We breathe them in, and studies have shown they can actually boost our immune system by increasing the activity of our natural killer cells.
Wait, really? So the air itself is different? It's not just cleaner, it's actively doing something to my body?
It's actively beneficial. And then there's the sound. In the city, you have this cacophony of what acousticians call anthropogenic sound. Sirens, traffic, construction. It's jarring and unpredictable. In a park, you get biophony, birdsong, the rustle of leaves. These are sounds that are complex but also patterned. They engage our brains without stressing them.
That's fascinating. It's a full sensory swap. You're trading the smell of exhaust for phytoncides, and the sound of a car horn for a bird call. No wonder it feels like such a total reset. It's like you're changing the very fuel your brain is running on.
That's a perfect way to put it. You're giving your brain a higher quality fuel. And researchers have even started to frame it in a way that's, well, a bit more familiar. Some Dutch researchers coined the term vitamin G.
Vitamin G for green. I like that. It makes it sound essential, like something you have a deficiency in if you don't get enough.
Which is precisely their point, that access to green space isn't a luxury. It's a non-negotiable component of public health, just like vitamin C or D.
Okay, so if we're running with that metaphor, what's the recommended dose? I mean, is sitting on a bench for 5 minutes enough? Do I need to be out there for 2 hours? Does it have to be every day?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the research is starting to give us some surprisingly specific answers. One of the most cited studies suggests a dose of about 120 minutes a week.
2 hours a week. That's actually doable. That's not a 5-day trek through the wilderness.
Not at all. And what's interesting is that the benefits seem to hit a peak around 200 to 300 minutes. After that, they didn't really increase. And importantly, it didn't matter if you got your 120 minutes in one long go or spread out over several shorter visits.
So, a 20-minute walk in the park every day on your lunch break could genuinely have a measurable, positive impact on your well-being.
A significant impact. It lowers the barrier to entry so much. You don't have to feel guilty because you can't get away for a huge hike. The small, consistent doses of vitamin G are incredibly powerful. It's about integration, not just escape.
That completely changes my perspective on the little pocket park down my street. I always saw it as, you know, nice but not the real thing. But hearing this, it's not a lesser version. It's a vital, accessible dose of something I truly need.
And that right there, that shift in perspective is everything. It's moving from seeing these spaces as ornamental, as just nice-to-haves, to understanding them as a fundamental part of our urban infrastructure, as essential as a library or a hospital.
It really is. but it brings up a difficult question for me then. Hearing all this, I just feel incredibly lucky. Lucky to have that little park. But what about the neighborhoods, the communities, that don't? Where the nearest green space isn't a 20-minute walk, but a bus ride away.
That is the critical lingering question, isn't it? If this is vitamin G, then we have to talk about who has access to the pharmacy. The research is pretty clear on this. There's a direct correlation between lower-income neighborhoods and a lack of quality green space. So we're effectively creating deficiencies in communities that are often already under the most stress.
So it becomes an issue of public health equity. It's not just about personal wellness anymore. It's about urban design and social justice. That adds a whole new weight to it.
It does. It means the simple act of planting a tree, of advocating for a new community garden or a pocket park, isn't just beautification. It's a public health intervention. It's rewriting the setting for someone's story, giving their character a tool for resilience they didn't have before.
Wow. I don't think I'll ever look at that patch of grass the same way again. My big takeaway from all of this, I think, is a sense of agency. It's not this passive thing anymore. It's knowing that a deliberate 20-minute choice to step into that green space is a real, scientifically backed act of self-care. And maybe a reminder to advocate for that choice to be available to everyone.
For me, it's a renewed sense of hope, really. In a world that feels increasingly digital and disconnected, there's this ancient biological truth sitting right in front of us. That our brains are still wired for the natural world, and that healing, or at least a moment of peace, doesn't require a complicated solution. It just requires opening the door and walking outside.
A beautiful place to leave it. Thank you for exploring all of this with me. And to everyone listening, we hope this conversation gives you a new lens through which to see your own city and your place within it.
Find your dose of vitamin G this week, however small it might be.
Take care of yourselves and each other.